This is also a great opportunity to tell you about a special broadcast we have right here on RTÉ Radio 1 and on RTÉ News Now. Next Monday, between 9 and 11 a.m., we will be taking you inside the mysterious lives of peregrine falcons. Oh, not on some cliff face off the west coast of Ireland, but on a cathedral spire near you, Jim Wilson and Alan Farrell. Tell us all about it.
Okay, Derek. Yes, we're very excited about this.
I know.
And I really should hand over to Alan, because Alan really was the main mover in getting this project up and running. So if you don't mind, I'll hand over to Alan to fill you in on the project so far.
No problem at all, Jim and Derek. So essentially what we have, Derek, here is we've got a magnificent cathedral, St. Cormac's Cathedral, right in the heart of Cove. Very hard to miss it. And on that cathedral, we have a spire which is 300 feet high from the ground level to the tip of the cross. Now, there's been peregrine falcons on that spire as long as I was can remember. And I suppose Jim, being a lot older than me, can probably remember further back than that even. Yeah. But essentially, we were hoping to maybe... We got up there several times to see were they actually nesting up there. And we couldn't find any evidence that they ever nested up there. So we thought maybe this was an opportunity to maybe, you know, create a nesting platform, which we have seen in other cathedrals and tall buildings in the UK particularly. They're very popular in the UK. So we installed a nesting platform on the cathedral, and the first year, unfortunately, wasn't successful. But the second year, it did. Birds took to it, and they successfully reared two chicks, which fledged. And off they went. So the following year, then we installed a camera. Not as sophisticated as the ones on Harper's, unfortunately. It wouldn't be a live stream as such, but we are recording the clips, and we have access to them. And again, as I said about the San Martins and the Swifts here in Jim's house, another fascinating field has a whole new subject matter has been opened up to us. We're seeing the private lives of the peregrines, Derek, on Cove Cathedral. Almost life. So it's fascinating and something we're looking forward to as the season progresses.
This will be a special programme broadcast, as I've said, next Monday between 9 and 11 on RTÉ Radio 1. It also happens to be World Curlew Day. In studio, I'll have Niall Hatch and Eric Dempsey, and we'll have a series of reports from Éanna Ní Leabhar, Richard Collins and Terry Flanagan, because we'll be focusing, I suppose, in the main on nesting strategies, because it is right in the middle of the nesting season. Now, Jim, when we think of peregrine falcons, as I mentioned earlier, you think of them on cliff faces, not on man-made buildings, but I suppose it looks like a cliff to them.
They are, Derek, and that's just it. As far as they're concerned, it's a big lump of rock, and it's a fantastic lump of rock because there's actually little ledges on it, because in a natural setting, they will nest on ledges, on cliffs. That's what they really like. And so the cathedral is fine, although I used to always wonder, the bells in Cove ring every quarter of an hour from, I think, 7 a.m. till midnight. And I thought, surely this would scare any bird off from nesting there. Not at all. They're actually not that far from the actual bells themselves. And they don't even flinch when they ring out, and are very happy with it, because they've got the best view in town from the spire. They're nearly 200 feet up the spire itself, up the cathedral itself.
It's like a penthouse apartment, Jim, for heaven's sake. With a balcony.
We're actually very jealous of it, because when we were up there, when I was up with Alan, when they were bringing up all the gear and putting in the cameras, the view was just unbelievable. But for a peregrine falcon, very clever for this one, I'd say I couldn't believe its luck. You just sit on the spire, the church is 300 feet high to the tip of the spire. If you have a peregrine falcon, it just has to sit on top, and it can see all the pigeons and the gulls and everything else down below, and it doesn't even have to fly up. It just drops off that, and it gets up to over 250 kilometers an hour within 10-15 seconds, and the poor bird that's in its crosshairs hasn't got a chance.
Yeah, they're the fastest animal on the planet in a dive.
That's correct. In a dive, without flapping the wings, they've been clocked at over 300 kilometres an hour, which even to me, as someone interested in birds, is like, no, that can't be true. But apparently it actually has been.
That's a technique they've developed, actually, Jim. I think it's known as a stoop. where the peregrine typically would fly up to a great height, and obviously being a bird of prey, they have fantastic eyesight. And at that height, they can see their target as such down below. And what they'll do is basically, essentially, they'll drop like an arrow. They'll fold their wings in on their backs, become the ultimate streamlined shape, and drop like a stone. And as Jim said earlier, unfortunately for the bird in its crosshairs, but that's nature. That's what peregrines do, and that's what peregrines feed on.
You're already watching what's going on that nesting site there. What kind of prey are they bringing in?
Well, that was very interesting, Derek, because initially when we got up there to do our surveys, I said it wasn't the nesting season as such. It was actually midwinter. And the array of prey that was up there was fascinating. A lot of waders, of course, being here on the edge of Cork Harbour, you'd expect some seabirds, but we couldn't get over the amount of waders that were up there. Oh, absolutely, yeah. There was some snipe, some black-tailed godwit. We found the remains of a woodcock up there at one stage. And what was fascinating as well was, because it was the depths of winter and probably things were hard, they were actually caching some of the prey items. So there was some very intact prey items up there that were kind of
being stored for a kind of rainy day sort of thing.
Exactly, Derek, yeah. Because obviously with the weather and the wind, they probably couldn't hunt over the winter period, but they had their store up there tucked away. But at the moment, we have the female regularly in and around the box, and she has at this stage created her nesting scrape. So the box consists basically of a tray. It is a shallow tray filled with pea gravel, essentially, very, very fine gravel, which is what the peregrine would typically nest on in the wild. And they don't build a nest as we would typically know it, as other birds would. What they do is they create a little scrape in the gravel. So we've been watching regularly over the last couple of weeks, and the female has been in and out. And what she'll do is she'll basically use her breast, sit into the gravel, and with her talons then scrape back the gravel. And at the moment you can see it live when we look at it. The nesting scrape as such is very obvious, and you can see it. She's in and out there regularly, so fingers crossed, Derek, for the next couple of weeks. We'll see how things develop here.
Please, God. Anyway, we will embed the live stream on our Mooney Goes Wild website and Mooney Goes Wild YouTube channel next Monday. And our colleagues at RTE News Now will also be broadcasting the images. Can I just say, Jim, that you do all of this under licence, and you might explain that.
Absolutely, Derek. We can't even point a camera at that nest without a licence. That's the law. The Wildlife Act in Ireland means that we've got to apply. It's a rigorous process to make sure that you're not, you know, just pretending, and that you want to, because, you know, in the past, peregrines were very valuable, and nests were raided and chicks were taken and sold. A lot of them went to the actual Middle East, you know, so you could have one on your arm and go out hunting with it. But this is partly the reason why we have to have license to have the cameras there, as Alan, I think, alluded to already, and to even do any of this work near the nest. NPWS has to make sure that we are responsible, we're experienced, and that we know what we're doing.
That's the National Parks and Wildlife Service. Anyway, Jim and Alan, we'll talk to you next Monday between 9 and 11. And Jim, Ella, thank you very much indeed for your contribution also. I did mention the fact that next Monday will be World Curlew Day, 21st of April, but I want to draw your attention now to an event that's taking place on the 18th, that's Friday the 18th of April, which has been held by the Irish Peatland Conservation Council.
The Irish Peatland Conservation Council will celebrate World Curlew Day on Friday the 18th of April. We invite you to join us at the Bog of Allen Nature Centre, County Kildare, at 11 a.m. and walk with us to Lodge Bog. IPCC guides will share with you the management and monitoring we undertake for this iconic bogland bird on this reserve. We will watch and listen for the curlew before returning to the centre for a cup of tea or coffee. The Peatland Exhibition and Peat-Free Wildlife Gardens will also be open for you to explore. For full details, visit ipcc.ie or contact us at the centre. This is a free event and all are welcome to join.
More details can be found on the website rte.ie/mini. That's pretty much all we have time for tonight. Don't forget, next Monday, right here on RT Radio 1 between 9 and 11 for a special edition of Mooney Goes Wild, right here on RT Radio 1 and on RTE News Now. We'll talk to you next week from 9 to 11. Until then, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye!